Let's take our Bibles this afternoon, turn to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. I want to just spend a little while this afternoon and remind us that we believe in the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We still believe it. And I'll say this, I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And so there's a lot of departing from that truth. And I still believe the Bible shows us throughout the scriptures, gives us examples of that. But I just want to remind us this afternoon that Jesus is coming back for us. That is the blessed hope of the redeemed. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. In fact, you stay there in John chapter number 14. I'm going to read a couple verses over in Titus. And Titus chapter number 2, we read this a couple weeks ago in Sunday school about the grace of the Lord Jesus. If I can find Titus, he's after Timothy, right? Comes in alphabetical order right there. And so Titus chapter 2, let me remind us of this. The Bible says in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." And so I want to remind us that Jesus is coming again. It may be morning, may be evening. Some look at it and say, well, at the midnight cry, and whatever it may be, but I'm thankful whenever it may be, I want to be ready for the day and the time that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Now, you're in John chapter 14. Let's remember what Jesus said beginning in verse number 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Can I pause there for a moment and set this in context of what Jesus is reminding them? At the end of chapter number 13, Jesus has told his disciples that he's going to be going, he's going to go away, he's going to be crucified, and then it is Peter, Simon Peter, at the end of chapter 13, verse number 36, it says, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Jesus said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay my life down for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay thy life down for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Can you imagine what that did to Peter at verse number 38 right there? It's no wonder that Jesus started off, and we have it as chapter 14, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." you're going to deny me three times. Right now you can't follow me, but you'll follow me afterwards. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Aren't you thankful as we read down through this passage of Scripture, Peter asked the question, whither thou goest. Peter was saying, I'm going to follow after you. And Jesus said, you can't follow me right now, but you can come afterwards. And then Jesus gave the promise in the first few verses of John chapter 14. He said, I'm going away. He said, but I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. May I remind us, as I read there in Titus chapter number 2, that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is what we hope for. And when I say hope, it's not the hope that we used in context today of the uncertainty of whether something may happen or may not happen, but the hope is the blessed assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And someone made the statement this week, some of you may have read it, but he made the statement, he said, if your hope for the end times is revolving around the works and the deeds of the Antichrist, then you're looking at the end times a little bit different and wrong. He said, our hope is revolved around the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. Can I tell you this? I believe from the scripture, I believe we're not going to be around when the Antichrist is having his rule and reign here upon the face of the earth. That's our assurance as we're going through the book of the Revelation, as we're reading down through there and the disaster that's going to be taking place. I want to remind us also, turn over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The Bible describes two groups of people here, some that are ignorant and some that are not. The ones that are ignorant of this are the ones that have no hope, according to verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. The Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I've told you this before, I'll tell you again. My dad always said that was the fastest growing group of Christians on the face of the earth was ignorant brethren. He said they're just not spending time in their Bible. God reveals it to us in here. But the Apostle Paul was saying, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I want to encourage us because there's a couple ways we ought to be living our lives in light of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. We ought to be living, first of all, comforted from those that have passed on before us. That was the purpose of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, reminding us, reminding that church there at Thessalonica, that those that have died in Christ, the Bible says when Jesus comes back, he's bringing them with him. Isn't it going to be a blessing now? Let's not confuse, as you read throughout the scriptures, we need to be careful not to confuse the rapture of what we're reading here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and the second coming to establish the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he tells about it in Matthew 24, Matthew 25. I believe he even tells us about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. He tells us about it towards the end of the book of Revelation. Let's not be confused with the coming of Christ to be able to establish his kingdom and the coming back of those of us that are saved in this age, this dispensation of grace, that Christ is coming back for us. You say, what's one of the major differences? When you get over to the establishment of the kingdom that Christ is going to establish, he's actually coming all the way back and he's going to set foot on this earth once again. The Bible also describes that as he's coming back, those upon all four corners of the earth are going to behold his glory as he's coming back, to be able to set foot there. I believe that's what was being talked about when you get to Acts chapter number 1, where Jesus sent the angels back, that in like manner as Jesus was taken up there at the Mount of Olives, in like manner, he's coming back and he's going to set foot back on the Mount of Olives. But 7 years previous to that, we have the assurance. Now, can I just give you a few examples as you go throughout the scripture of what it may be like? God has not appointed us to wrath. God has not appointed us to go through that time. There's some wonderful pictures of it as you go throughout the Old Testament. We see pictures like Noah's Ark. Wonderful picture of salvation, wonderful picture of deliverance from the wrath being poured out upon this earth. You say, well, all that took place. Now listen, as we look at those pictures throughout Scripture, we're reminded that every earthly and human picture eventually breaks down. We have it that the ark being a wonderful picture of salvation, that God saved Noah and his family. We have the sealing of the ark, the door of the ark is a wonderful picture of eternal security, that God has sealed that, God has shut the door. Where those human examples break down is just over a year later, that door opened back up, okay? And Noah and his family were able to get off there. We have the ark is a wonderful picture of being delivered from the wrath of God that would be poured out upon the earth. May I remind us too that Sodom and Gomorrah is a wonderful picture of being delivered. God took his people out. And here's something that a lot of people can't understand. If they're based upon a work salvation, then how could Lot, who the Bible says over in the New Testament that he vexed his righteous soul? I believe he was saved. But I believe you have an example of God trying to get the attention of someone who is in the world and living towards the world and living in that condoning of that lifestyle. But God even delivered Lot. God would have delivered all that was righteous. But yet all we see that came out of there was Lot and his wife, and she turned back, and his two daughters. We have a wonderful picture of that. We have a wonderful picture of how the rapture might take place. Just interesting, we have it in Enoch. And the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Hebrews 11 tells us that he was translated, that he should not see death. And may I say this? There's going to be a generation. I'm hoping that it's ours that's not going to see death. That we're just going to get caught away. Bible tells us, you think about 1 Thessalonians 4 that we just read about. You know, I was sitting there and they probably thought I was foolish. There was some that were singing this week during the revival meeting. I can't remember what they were singing, but during that, Brother Jordan, just right in the middle of it, I went like that. Just maybe getting ready, just thinking if that would be the time and we could take off. You know, I've been in churches. You ever done that, a rapture drill? You just pretend that you're going right there. And I was just standing there listening to him sing, and boy, I was thinking about that, and I went like that, and I said, I wonder if today could be the day. Obviously, it wasn't. But I thought, do you understand that how it's going to be? Now, another example of it, if you look at Elijah, when Elijah was taken up into heaven, one of the two that we don't have a recorded death of, okay, Enoch and Elijah, that here comes this horse and fiery chariots that come down from heaven and separates Elijah and Elisha as they're there. And Elijah goes up into heaven in a whirlwind. And I thought, boy, what it's going to be like. And Elisha got to see that. And I thought, what is it going to be like when all of a sudden, as the Bible tells us, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, there's only one thing that has to happen before we meet the Lord in the air. You say, I've been taught all these years that there's nothing else that has to happen. There is one thing that needs to happen. The dead in Christ need to rise first. That's the one thing that happens. Now, we've talked about it. Now, listen, I'm just bringing this back for us to have the hope and the joy and the assurance that, listen, this world is not all that there is. We've talked about it. Can you imagine how it's going to be? Now, I don't know. He hasn't given us insight. The Bible says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Does that mean the graves are going to open up? I don't know. Listen, God is just as powerful enough to put that and bring that new body up through the ground. That's not going to be an issue. Listen, Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away for him to be able to get out of the grave and out of the tomb. I believe Jesus was already gone and the angel just moved the stone off just to allow us in, not to allow Jesus out. So I don't know if the graves are going to open up, but I've thought about this. Can you imagine how many here have a loved one or family member or friend that's gone on before us? You know that they're saved. You know that you're going to see them again. Can you imagine standing there at their graveside? And I know several still go back to the graveside. My parents are buried up in Maine. My grandparents are buried up in Maine. Honestly, my dad's been gone for 3.5 years or so. And I'm trying to think. I think I've been back there one time, and it might have just been for the burial. But can you imagine standing there and just happen to be there at that moment that the rapture takes place? Now, I don't know if the ground's going to open up, and I don't even know if we'll have the time to comprehend what's taking place, because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, dead in Christ, and we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Now listen, we have that assurance. We have that from the Word of God. We have the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ on this. We're not appointed to wrath. Now, here's the thing. Here's what we need to understand as you go through the Scriptures. There's many times that as we're reading the Scriptures, and I'm not going to go through all of these, but may I remind us, you go back to Matthew 24, 25. The rapture's not in Matthew 24 and 25, okay? When you start looking at Matthew 24, 25, and it starts talking about they beheld his glory as it's coming down the four corners of the earth, that's not going to take place at the rapture, okay? May I remind us also that if you go back and read the context of it in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, when it's talking about that the Antichrist is going to be revealed, he's going to step in, he's going to be in the temple, beholding himself as God, that's what it says, okay? But it also says there, whom the Lord shall destroy with the brightness of his glory when he comes back. Okay? And so in the context of Scripture, be careful, because, and here's why I'm pointing this all out. A lot of things that we read throughout the Bible, it's actually talking about the second coming of the Lord. When Jesus is going to come back, and you say, well, how the condition of the world is going to be when Jesus comes back to establish his earthly kingdom. May I say this? If you think it's going to be that bad, we're 7 years before that. And you say, all of this has to develop. Now, here's why. Number one, we need to be comforting one another that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, it's hard to comfort someone who's not looking forward and ready for the rapture. You know why? Because they have no hope to look forward to. But you know what has taken place all of my life? Whenever there's something bad going on in this world, whenever someone is discouraged, whenever someone's down, and there seems like no hope whatsoever, you know what's always been said, and we can continue to say it, hey, Jesus is coming back. We can always encourage someone with the truth that Jesus is coming back. Now, here's the thing. We ought to live comforted that Jesus is coming back. But may I also say this, we ought to live convicted that Jesus is coming back. You say, what do you mean? I'll be honest with you, I want to be living right when Jesus comes. I want him to find me faithful. I've used this illustration before. There's one of our missionaries that we worked with down in Tennessee, and his dad, they had talked about going to a baseball game one day. And he said there was a whole row, his entire family, and then this older gentleman, the father, a couple others passed them. And he said a couple people passed this guy, ordered a beer. And so it came down through, and people were handing that down through. And it came to this father. And the father sat there with his hands on his lap. And they said, would you just hand this on to the next person? He ordered it. And the guy said, nope, I'm not doing it. And he said, sir, I'm not asking you to drink it. I'm just asking you to hand it on. He said, no. He said, not going to. He said, sir, he said, I don't understand. He said, sir, you don't understand. He said, I'm a Christian. And he said, I believe the Lord's coming back at any moment. And he said, just as soon as I went to hand that, he said, the Lord probably come back. And he said, he'd never believe it wasn't mine. Now, we chuckled at it, and I chuckled at it. We understand, okay? But it was so real to him that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back for those that are his children, that he was living convicted. Now, let me ask you something. I wonder what it would be in our lives that if we knew 100%, right now it is 12:50 p.m. on May the 2nd, 2021, what would you do in the next 10 minutes if you knew the Lord was coming back at 1 o'clock? Would there be something we would get right? Would there be something that we would confess? Would there be something that we would go to someone else and say, I need to get this right? Let me ask you something. Let's take it a step further. If you just got word right now that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming to your house at 1:30 and he was going to walk in your living room and he was going to sit down at your kitchen table and he was going to open your refrigerator. Let me ask you something. What would you leave church early for? That's exactly right. I wonder what we would go back and get ready for Jesus to come. I wonder what we would say, I don't want Jesus to see that. I wonder what we would be looking at saying, I need to go shut that off. I need to go hide that. Hey, listen, first of all, the Holy Spirit of God already sees it. Second of all, if we'd be that convicted at the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, guess what? Jesus can come back at any moment. And I want him to know that we're ready, that we're faithful. You say, oh, Pastor, I've heard that for years, that Jesus is coming back. Hey, listen, don't you fulfill the prophecy that scoffers are going to come and say, where's the promise of his coming? There's not one promise in the Bible so far that Jesus has not fulfilled. Not one. So if he's fulfilled every other one, guess what? We can bank it that he's coming back. Now, he can come back at any time. And let me take it a step further. It's not just he can come back, he will be coming back at any time. So let me ask you something today. Are you comforted with that? Someone put it this way, and I'm not saying this in a cursing way, but he said, do you understand? He said that for the Christian, this is the worst hell that we'll ever see. You say, this is wicked around. Hey, I'm saved. It can only get better. But for the lost people, this is all the heaven they're ever going to see. And it might be your life. I just heard of a 19-year-old college student. I gave him a phone call on Thursday after I got done preaching because I saw something he had posted. He said, today is the day that I just settled that I'm a child of God. Grew up in a preacher's home. Grew up in church all of his life. He said, I don't even remember. He said, I remember something. He said, but I don't even remember praying and asking the Lord to save me. I don't remember being told about sin. He said, but God's been sure burdening my heart for the past. He said, it got to the point, he said, he was getting ready to go out with his girlfriend and her mom. And he said, I was getting so scared that day knowing God speaking to my heart that if we got into a car accident and I went out into eternity, I knew that I'd spend it in hell. And he said, I went and sat down with my pastor and said, Pastor, I need to get this settled. And he said, well, you know all the scriptures. He said, Pastor, would you just read the Bible to me again? And went down through and read those verses as we're going throughout the scripture. And he bowed his head and called upon the Lord. He said, I was scared to death. He said, just knowing if the Lord came back, I wasn't going. Now listen, we say it's the blessed hope. It's the blessed hope for those of us that are saved. But there's some, you've heard it all your life. And you still know it's not settled in your heart and life. And if Jesus were to come back right now, you'd be left sitting right here. Be sitting right here. In fact, I don't even think you'd be looking around saying, what just happened? I think you'd be looking around knowing what happened. Knowing. You just missed it. I'm not all for the drama of it, but you'd be left behind. You would. That's a sad place to be. Left behind. But let me say this, it's comfort for those of us that know he's coming back. But it's convicting if we're not living right. It's convicting if we're not even sure that we're saved. Can I say this? If you're not 100% sure that if Jesus were to come back right now, if you're not 100% sure that you'd be gone, I tell you, I wouldn't leave here today. I wouldn't walk out them doors. You say, but, and here's what this young man said. I called and spent some time on the phone with him because I'll say this, he was my nephew. Spent some time on the phone with him. And he said, Uncle Peter, he said, I thought for sure, he said, how ashamed I'd be afterwards. He said, I couldn't wait to go walking through the college and just telling everybody that's seated around there, said, I just got saved. He said, I'm getting baptized in front of the whole church. He said, I'm not ashamed one bit. And I said, well, it's what the Bible teaches. And I thought, listen, for those that are being held back by their pride, oh, I prayed a prayer, but you don't know the first thing about salvation. You know something? He's not going to be talking about, did you pray a prayer? He's not going to. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and you've trusted in him? Hey, there's some sitting right here. I believe it. You got a doubt in your mind as sure as I'm sitting here right now. Got a doubt in your mind, you're saying that could be me. Can I say this? Don't wait till you're 19, 20 years old to try to get it figured out. Get it settled, because the Lord is coming back at any time. And Christian, if you're here today and there's sin in your life, get it right, because the Lord's coming back. And I want to be holy and righteous and blameless when the Lord comes back. I just wonder this, do you know that you're saved? 100%. We talk about the Lord coming back. There's some young people seated here. I believe this. I believe if the Lord were to come back, you'd be going home to an empty house today. Because your parents will be gone and you'll be here. I believe this. I believe there's some spouses. I believe it. And I believe if the Lord were to come back, that wife would go back to an empty house. That husband would go back to an empty house because they're not sure that they're saved. Can I say this? Have it said. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. Hey, listen, I'm trying to give an opportunity for the Holy Spirit of God to work you into it. Convict your heart and say, that's what I need. I'm tired of playing games. Hey, I might have prayed a prayer when I was young, but I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I need to know that the Lord's my Savior. Can we have every head bowed, every eye closed? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's where we're at this afternoon. How many of y'all are thankful that Jesus is coming back? Would you say amen right where you're at? I'm thankful Jesus is coming back. I'm thankful that one of these days, listen, I don't believe it'll be long. I just believe we're going to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. But I want to ask you this question. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet him? First of all, for the Christians, is there sin in your life that you would be ashamed at his appearing? Is there something in your life that if the Lord were to come back right now, you'd say, boy, I wish I would have had the opportunity to get that right. Well, guess what? Here's your opportunity. Get it right with the Lord right now. But then let me ask you this, and I'm as serious as can be, and this isn't the direction we were going today, but I just believe the Lord has it for a reason. I wonder if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure if the Lord came back today that I'd go with him. I might be going back to an empty house. I might be going home on my own. And I'm not sure that I'm saved. I've said that I am. I could probably ask testimony from anybody that's seated here. I've said that I am. I've gone along that I am. But in my heart, there's something going on right now. And I'm just not sure. Pastor, would you pray for me? Hey, listen, I'd love the privilege to pray for you. And I wonder right now if you'd be willing just to slip your hand up, slip it down and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm just not sure. Would you slip your hand up right now? Slip it up, slip it down. Pastor, pray for me. That's me. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm a child of God. I sure pray God burdens our hearts for this as much as I am right now. I'm just not sure that I'm saved. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not asking if you're a church member. I'm not asking if you're married to a wonderful Christian spouse. I'm asking, do you personally know that you're saved? Do you know that you're a child of God? If not, why not get it settled today? Father, I love you. Thank you for the promise that you will come back and receive us unto yourself, that where you are, there we may be also. Lord, may we live each and every day in the joy and the assurance and the comfort of knowing that we will see you face to face. But Lord, may every day we live convicted if there's sin in our lives. Lord, that we'll see you face to face. Lord, if there's one here this afternoon, it doesn't matter how young or how old. But Lord, if right now in their heart, there's a doubt. They're not assured that they're a child of God. Lord, I pray you won't let them rest. I pray you'll convict their heart. I pray, Lord, that you'll draw them to yourself, that, Lord, they may humble themselves for eternal salvation before it's too late. Lord, would you do the work of conviction in hearts and lives? And Lord, may they live in victory and rejoicing when they get it right and get it settled. Lord, we sure do love you today. Thank you for the assurance of spending eternity with you now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Do you understand that the Bible tells us in Romans that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the child of God? And if you're sitting there right now, it's not the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, let me take that back. It's not the devil trying to convince you that you're saved and don't need it. If you're not saved, the devil's going to let you sit there And he's just going to let you think you're saved for the rest of your life. But it is the Holy Spirit of God. And he may not be bearing witness with your spirit. He may be saying, you're not one of mine. You know, every time the devil crawls up on my shoulder and says, you know, you might not even be saved, that sweet Holy Spirit of God in my heart starts saying, you're one of mine. Every time we have that conviction, every time we have that desire to live for God, boy, the devil's not going to do that. He's just going to let you go on living. But I'm so thankful that Holy Spirit, listen, if you can't shake it, that Holy Spirit convicting your heart saying, that's not you. You got that doubt, don't you? I'm thankful, as the Bible says, Jesus told the woman at the well, if you drink of the water of life freely, guess what? You're not going to thirst again. I'm not thirsty to go get something. I've got it, and I'm satisfied. Amen? I'm so thankful for that.